Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace, mercy, and peace from our Lord Jesus Christ, our risen Savior. Amen. Who will roll away the stone? Who will roll away the stone for us? Three women, acquaintances, friends, followers of Jesus, started off early that morning. They walked together in the cool of the day, the first day of the week, the day after the Jewish Sabbath. I imagine that the air was brisk against their skin, that their cheeks were flush, stung by the cold. I imagine that their fingers were numb, that they grasped what they carried tightly. The sun was just rising, shadows still hung on the ground. The air was still and quiet. The world around them was at rest. These three likely huddled together as they walked, talking in hushed tones, their eyes darting about, hoping not to be seen, not to be noticed. For they were going to the site of Jesus' burial, the center of chaos, just 3 days before. They were going to bathe and prepare the Lord for his long rest, to make sure he was properly cleaned and bandaged in his tomb. But in their hurry, in their stealth, in their early morning planning, they had forgotten about one thing, one very important thing, the stone, the massive rock that sealed the entrance to the tomb. They had everything else they needed, everything to clean and prepare the body. They had myrrh and spices and aromatics and oils and cloths and bandages, everything they needed. But they forgot one thing. Who would roll away the stone? You know, through the years, Bible scholars have pondered, how could these brave and well-intentioned, life-seasoned women forget about such an important task? Of course the tomb was sealed. They watched Jesus' body be removed from the cross. They watched as Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus took him down and laid this once strong and vibrant man, now limp and lifeless, into the tomb. These three watched the stone roll into place, so how could they forget such an important detail? Theologians through the generations have speculated that it was God himself who must have befuddled these women's thoughts, that the Holy Spirit blocked this thought from their minds, blocked or scrambled their thinking, so that they purposely arrived at the tomb alone. Alone without help, no one there to move the gigantic stone. And so it was, them alone, just these three in that place that morning. But what they found when they arrived was not a sealed tomb, but an open one. That massive rock of their concern had been pushed aside, moved by some great force. The tomb was open. The stone, of course, had been moved not by any human, but by a heavenly force, moved for their benefit and for ours. It had been moved for all believers by the power of God, moved so that no one would doubt, moved so that all would know that this was not man's doing, but the divine. The immense obstacle was gone. And so were the Roman soldiers who had guarded the entrance. In their place stood something much more impressive, heavenly beings, glowing white, holy sentinels, God's messengers, angels standing at the ready. And they too were there for one reason. They were there to tell these women that the one they sought, that their Lord, their Jesus, the one who was just killed and laid in the tomb 3 days before, was not there. He had risen. Death could not hold the King of Kings. That massive rock was moved that day not by man's doing, but by the power of the Creator. a symbol of his power, and a gift for the faithful. These women were not able to move that rock, so the rock was moved for them. They came to faith that day because the Lord moved that which blocked them from seeing the truth. The rock was moved to expose God's glory, the glory of an empty tomb. Jesus was no longer there. He was risen. "Come and see," the angel said. "He is not here." You know, it's the same really for us. That which blocks us from seeing and believing in the Lord is moved not by our work, but by the Lord himself. "Come and see," says the Holy Spirit. "You are not alone. Jesus is with you now and always. He is not dead. He is alive. Now he is in all places at all times. The stone of disbelief has been rolled away. Come and see. Come and believe." St. Paul said it this way: "For by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast." These women could not boast about rolling away the stone, just as we cannot boast about believing in Christ on our own. We cannot make the choice on our own. We cannot accept him alone. He calls us to him, pulls us, invites us. He alone instills in us the ability to believe. Friends, I tell you plainly, the reason you are here today is because somewhere along the line, the stone of disbelief in your life was rolled away, and then you saw the truth of the risen and living Lord. That which kept you from believing was removed, and God's glory was shown to you. You are here today not by your own doing, but because the Lord wants you here now and always. Okay, maybe you came this morning with a little kicking and screaming, yanked out of bed by a parent, maybe after a call from a concerned grandparent, or maybe prompted by a dutiful spouse. Maybe you came this morning to reflect on times gone by, pleasant memories, traditions of your past. You may be here because you just wanted to see this beautiful building and hear some inspiring music. But however it is you are here in this seat today, I guarantee you it's because the Lord wants you here. You are here so that the world and its demons don't get another chance to gig you and distract you and divert you one more time. You are here by the call of the Holy Spirit for your eternal future. You are here so that your life can be pointed in the direction attended by the Creator. He is the God of all we know and see and feel. You are here for your family, for your children, for your neighbor, for your God. You are here because you are not ashamed of the gospel, nor ignorant to it, or rejecting of it like so many in our culture today. No, you are here to praise your God, to give thanks, and to receive forgiveness. You are here to learn how to live and think and act righteously, the way intended by our Father in heaven. In the words of St. Paul, "I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed. As it is written, the righteous shall live by faith." The righteous shall live by faith. The righteous are those who know and love God, those who seek to follow his ways over the ways of the world. The righteous love and accept their God. They follow him in his ways, not the ways that are most current ethic experts tell us to live. Not the way described by modern society, but as written and prescribed by our Lord, the way that was revealed to us by his very Son. Righteousness stems from the love of Christ, the love that accepts us as his very sons and daughters. And we are adopted into his kingdom now and will be heirs to everlasting life in his care. Righteousness is a way of living that places the love of him and the love of others over the love of self. Righteousness is what guides children and adults to moral living, filled with kindness and charity and mercy and grace. Righteousness reaches out. It offers a hand to others in need. Righteousness says, I forgive you. Let's start again. Righteousness says marriage is sacred and holy and worth saving, that babies are worth having, and that our elders are worth honoring and sheltering. Righteousness is brave and stands up and protects God's word and says that his ways are the right ways, even when popular culture says different. Yes, as Holy Scripture says, the righteous shall live by faith. Why? Because the Lord rolled away the stone of disbelief and showed us the way to faith. And it all starts today on Easter Day, Resurrection Day. It starts with the empty cross, the empty tomb, and a message from an angel. The one you seek is not here. He is risen. There may perhaps have been a time in your life that you have turned away from your faith, looked the other direction, turned away from a teaching or a thought that you didn't quite agree with. Maybe you ignored God's law. You know, the ones you don't like, those. Children do that from time to time, don't they? They grow and they stretch and they turn to their own way. Oh, we like children rebel and argue and do what we want. Isaiah knew it long ago. We are all like sheep, he says. We've all gone astray. We've all turned everyone to his own way. There may have been a time when you were embarrassed about your faith, or a time you hid your Christian identity, a time that you yielded to the world's pressure, ashamed that your thoughts were different than others, simpler than others, faith-based, Jesus-based. But be assured, Jesus is not ashamed of you. He has never turned away from you. Be assured that he loves you still, loves you enough to carry your sin, all your sin, the big ones and the little ones, to the cross. All our sin, all our guilt and shame, he carried to the cross. He died for your sin, then he rose from the grave to show us his power, power over death and the devil, power enough to save all humankind, power enough so that at the time of our death, we are rescued from being dead forever, and instead, we are with him forever. Remember, friends, that stone was rolled away that morning when the three women visited Jesus' grave. It was rolled away on Resurrection Day, not by the power of man, but by the power of God. Rolled away so that these faithful women might peer inside and see that the Son of God was no longer dead. Remember that the Lord of life has rolled away that same stone for you to be able to see and believe, not shrouded by the evils of this world. Receive this gift willingly, openly. Do not be ashamed of the gospel message, the good news of Jesus, or the way that he calls you to live. For in him there is life eternal. For salvation comes to everyone who believes. We pray in the name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.